Welcome to the 4 Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 14th February, recording at 9:20 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights on another rock and roll day in here. The Asian stock markets were mostly strong. Big gains in India. Japan up 4.27% on the Nikkei. Hang Seng Index up 3.68%. Generally firm tone throughout that region. China, which had been down a little bit yesterday, was up a little bit in here today. And European markets were mixed, then up a little bit. But Wall Street came in a little bit down and just kind of lost it throughout the day. Wall Street basically retraced yesterday's gains, with the Dow down 175 points, 1835 on the NASDAQ, 4139 on the NASDAQ Composite. In government bond markets, we had some real selling pressure in here today, particularly in the U.S. The 30-year bond is down 1.5 points. As I speak, and it has been down lower. The dollar is easier in here today, with the euro rallying up to 166.38. Aussie dollar is back above 90. Even sterling, which has hardly been a power of strength, but that's at 96.85, up half a cent. And crude oil strong in here today, 95.30. That's up 203 as I speak. Gold couldn't hold its early gains, got up to 914, was currently 907.80. That's up 120. Silver's down a little bit to 8 cents on the May contract. Platinum remains strong to 2015. That's up 31 palladium, up a little bit. The grains and beans were strong in here today. Oh, and natural gas was strong, up 357 ticks. So the commodities were pretty strong generally. Cotton, that's especially the ones that have been in form all along, white sugar, cocoa, cotton, and lumber, which came thumping back down yesterday and the day before. That's the most depressed of the agricultural commodities, but of course an industrial agricultural commodity, but managed a gain of a dollar today. Okay, so what's going on here right now? Well, as Owen said a moment ago when I gave him an update on what markets had done, they're not going to make it easy for anyone in this environment. It's going to be very choppy. We've seen that following every selling climax, you get the rally, then you get the sell-off, the retest, then it goes up and it goes down, and you get a bit of a struggle. You get a bit of a whipsaw activity, and there are lots of people who are bearish, needless to say. And they're selling short, or they certainly aren't buying. And the people who buy tend to be a bit jittery and to step out quickly, or they're tentative with their buying. Meanwhile, though, I'm being inundated with bearish commentary. It's coming in from subscribers. It's coming in from all over the place. And I even get friendly souls sending things forward and with the implication, you really ought to pay attention to this. Now, you know, everybody's view is in with a chance in markets. There are no knowers except with hindsight. But in the PA, this is typical of what we've seen at past selling climaxes. That doesn't mean, again, I emphasize, that the bears can't be right, and if they are right, we'll know why. In the sense that we have had the mother of all credit crises in here. But A lot of that, the people who I suspect are most bearish would be the people who've sold or who sold short and want to buy lower. That is behaviorally logical. And we know that fund cash positions have gone up. So technically, this remains an environment that is favors somewhat steadier action rather than a rapid plunge, as most people have been expecting or fearing. And what usually happens if markets don't go down, then people adjust their view a little bit and say, well, maybe we get a sort of a medium term recovery and then plunge later on. Well, if you get the medium term recovery, that probably improves the odds a bit that markets actually do better than those expectations. There's quite an interesting graph. I think it came from Credit Suisse that I posted, which shows it measures what the S&P has done following 5% intraday rallies, and it conforms pretty much to that Fuller Money script of markets bounce along, retest the lows, and that on average, what it is measured the average of all S&P intraday, what happens for the first 100 days following these S&P intraday rallies of 5%, and that's what we got on the 22nd. So what happens is the markets sort of churn sideways for the first 50 days and then rally on average 10% over the next 50 days. And that would not be too bad a return, of course. Now, that's the S&P, and as I emphasize here, it's a big world out there. Wall Street is important, but it's not the entire world, and a number of stock markets have moved above their early February highs, and a number of those come from Europe, although I don't doubt that they'll be down tomorrow because of the weakness that we saw on Wall Street today, or at least down initially. So again, I expect this choppy action to continue for a while, but the last significant thing that markets did was have that selling climax. And yes, of course, the news is horrendous, and that's why we had a sell-off leading to eventually a climax. Okay, in terms of long-dated government bonds, the inflation fears are beginning to emerge. I don't know why people weren't talking about that earlier on, but maybe it's just sort of a delayed reaction. But what I've mentioned from the beginning is that the day we saw that selling climax for Wall Street and so many other stock markets on the 22nd of January was also the day we simultaneously saw a buying climax in long-dated government bond futures. And therefore, not surprisingly, as stock markets move up, those bond prices are going to weaken more often than not, and vice versa. Looking at the dollar index, we've all seen, if you're interested in this and follow this sort of thing, we've all seen reams of copy on why the dollar is going to do better, based on the fact that people feel it's either gone down too far anyway or purchasing power parity. I'm never impressed by either of those arguments, although the fact that it's gone down a long way is the more relevant one, particularly if it's accelerated. And it had gone down enough for, I wanted myself to say that we thought it'd be range bound, which is what it has been for the most part, and just trade sideways. But these low interest rates and the prospect of even lower interest rates is a dead weight for the US dollar. And some people say, well, that's fully discounted. Well, it doesn't quite work that way with currencies, because if you're long dollars against another currency And okay, you say, okay, well, I think it's all priced in this chopping interest rates, but you've got a leveraged position in the currency markets. The interest rate differential, if that's negative, and it is for the dollar against most other currencies, then that's costing you money every second of the day, 24/7. And that is a powerful headwind in a ranging market. People don't mind an adverse interest rate differential. They don't like it, but they'll tolerate it if the trend is appreciating. But if it's ranging, as I say, that's burning money. So that's why I have said on so many occasions that interest rate differentials are the key hard fundamental factor in currency markets. And then there's also the fact that we know that the U.S. is pumping out plenty of liquidity, and it's going to go on doing that. And some people say, well, that hasn't changed things very much because so much liquidity has gone to money heaven in the form of write-downs, losses, dropping stock markets, and that's all true. But, of course, the Fed just keeps pumping out even more money to compensate for that and to cushioned in its effort, or in its efforts to try to cushion downside risk for the U.S. economy, and at the same time, downside risk for the U.S. stock market. Now, that means that there's still going to be plenty of dollars sloshing around in the system, and that's not a bull point for the dollar. Now, that liquidity is going to go somewhere, and my guess is that once nerves steady, that emerging stock markets, fuller money themes such as global infrastructure development, the resources sectors, they'll be the big beneficiaries. And indeed, there's some evidence that they already are. Okay. What about this grain and bean complex? Well, it's a crowded trade, but it's a good fundamental story, and there isn't a huge amount of competition, although stock markets have steadied since the 22nd of January. But again, looking at that chart action, it's a risky trade, and I would be careful in there, although I do feel that the long-term secular bull theme is very much in play, but we should be prepared to see plenty of volatility in those markets. Ditto precious metals. I've mentioned previously that we've seen we're probably in a mature stage of this medium-term upward move, but that doesn't mean that prices can't spike higher. Watch those rising lows. For silver, for gold, for palladium, when we see a lower low within those trends, lower reaction low, I should say, that will be a significant warning of danger. Equally, on the platinum chart, watch for the first down week. I think that would be an important warning, or watch for an even bigger up week than the rather impressive ones that we've had. In other words, if you get some sort of parabolic acceleration, that would be an ending signal. And the chances are that platinum will top out a little before the others. And anything else to mention here? Crude oil, rather, and natural gas. Natural gas has been a big laggard for a long time, and it looks like its catch-up move is now underway. I think that's pretty much it. So, just all the best to all of you.